Notes from a Small Island by Bill Bryson was read and abridged by Kerry Shiel. The producer was Paul Kent. And tomorrow, musing on maps, socks and castles. Bill heads for Dorset.
So, you've both been on holiday then?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
I thought so.
From the writer who brought the Daleks back to Doctor Who.
Imagine that I'm stronger than the pair of you. Imagine I'm trying to defend myself.
The first 2 minutes of a thriller.
Imagine I might even have a weapon here someplace.
Now, it's up to you.
What do we do?
Can you continue what Robert Shearman has started? Chain Gang returns to BBC Radio 4 Extra on Saturday afternoon at 1:10. Find out more on our website.
Enjoy the ride. It'll be over soon.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 3 o'clock. This is Cathy Clugston, and our drama for this hour is part two of Jamila Gavin's epic adventure about two orphaned children, Coram Boy. The 4 o'clock show says happy birthday to Harry Hill in an hour, and we'll also enjoy the latest episode of Philippa Pierce's story, Tom's Midnight Garden. That's in an hour. And later, we've Edgar Allan Poe's tale of a sea voyage and a mysterious item of luggage, the oblong box, at 6:45. So now the second part of Jamila Gavin's hugely successful novel and stage play, Coram Boy, set in mid-18th century England. So if you missed the first part, here's what's been going on. 7 years earlier, the aristocrat Alexander Ashbrook ran away from home after his father demanded he give up his life in music at Gloucester Cathedral and come home to work on the family estate. Without saying his goodbyes, he leaves behind his best friend Thomas and his beloved cousin Melissa, who 9 months later gives birth to a baby boy. Melissa is led to believe her child didn't survive, but it was in fact handed over to the evil Otis Gardner to get rid of in his usual unpleasant fashion. His simple-minded son Meshach, however, decides to take the child and disappear to London.
7 long years passed by, and the 7 babbies the gentleman saved lived and thrived and grew like little striplings.
Like my angels, child.
Yes, like your angels, child. And all the time, he was thinking of when he would confront his wife with the children she thought she had disposed of.
Years ago, a simpleton who drooled and wept and called himself Mish turned up at the Coram Hospital for the maintenance and education of deserted and foundling children in London. This lad was starving almost to death, but tucked into his jacket was a healthy baby boy. Some were convinced he was the father, so tender was he as he kissed it and could hardly bear to be parted from it. Finally, he relinquished the baby to their care, and as if recognising that he too was all but an infant in a youth's body, took this Mish in too to earn his keep by working on the farm.
Coram Boy by Jamila Gavin. Part 2. Angel Child.
Dangerfield! Gaddon!
Over here immediately!
You're to serve at Mr. Gaddon's soiree this evening, Toby, so you better be cleaner than the driven snow. Show me. Ears.
Ow!
Lucky thing. That means you get to dress up like a prince.
Yeah, silky pantaloons.
Yes, all right.
And his head all bound up in cloth.
That's a turban, stupid.
And funny curled up slippers.
Better than them clodhoppers we have to wear.
Come on, Nick. Fingernails! Let me see now. Get on your stockings and shoes, and you'll need your jackets. We've visitors in chapel this morning, boys. Mr. Ledbury wants anyone in the choir to get there early. Yes, that means you, Aaron.
20 or more boys stand on one side of the Coram chapel aisle, and the same number of girls on the other. All members of the Coram Hospital are present, from cooks, stewards, teachers and governors, to the benefactors who came to see how their money was being spent.
see what I mean, Lady P. Aren't they darlings? See that one over there with the curly brown hair and the mischievous brown eyes? John and I sponsored him, and he carries our name, John Redcott. Why don't you sponsor a Coram child? Your money couldn't go in a better cause, could it, Mr. Gaddon?
Mr. Philip Gaddon, merchant, patron of the Coram Hospital, and generous benefactor.
Indeed. I can't think of a better way to spend your money, my lady, than supporting one of these children.
Which one's yours, Mr. Gaddon?
The black one, over there. Toby. He's mine. You'll see him tonight at my soiree. Often comes to my house when I have parties. He'll be apprenticed out to me soon. Full time.
He always looks so adorable handing round the cognac and sweetmeats dressed like an Oriental prince. You treat him so well, Mr. Gaddon, like your own son.
The Coram children worked hard at their tasks, but they often wondered about their mothers, who they were, and would they ever find them.
One day, you and me, we'll get on a ship and go to Africa and find my mother.
Where's Africa?
It's far, far away over the dark green ocean.
But Toby, Mrs. Endry said they took her to America.
Well then, we'll go to America.
Where's America?
Over another dark green ocean. You will come with me, won't you?
What about Mish? Can he come too?
Of course he can. He's your dar, isn't he?
Don't know. But I couldn't leave Mish. He'll always need me.
Although the children learned to read, everything they read or sang, whether in the chapel or the classroom, reminded them of their sinful heritage.
Let us read from sheet 12. Greville, you begin.
Wash off my foul offence and cleanse me from my sin.
Everyone, that verse, read it. All together.
Wash off my foul offence.
That's Mercy.
Mercy Bly, playing the recorder as beautifully as Pan himself. Being blind, she couldn't learn to stitch and embroider like the other girls. But she could dust and polish. And because she loves music, nowhere gets better dusted and polished than the chapel. She and Aaron often hid among the pews, listening to the organ.
Mercy! Mercy, where are you? It's Mr. Handel playing.
George Frederick Handel, one of the greatest composers alive today.
Out with that, off with you, gonna
all right,
clean.
All right.
Quiet, I must have quiet. Look what you have made me do. My music is all over the place. Rouse.
Beg your pardon, sir. Gold, his papers are scattered everywhere. Pick him up, lad, I'm off.
Don't pop. Idiot and all minor music at guns.
It's all right, sir. I've collected all the sheets together. Shall I bring them up to you?
What? Yeah, yeah, bring it up.
Here you are, sir.
Danke, sir. Thank you very much. Now, what is it you want? What are you doing here? Have you a message?
No, sir. I was looking for Mercy. She likes the music. I thought she was in here. We come in sometimes to listen.
You liked some music, huh? Can you sing?
Mr. Ledbury says I can.
You sing in Herr Ledbury's choir?
Yes, sir.
Sing me something then.
Yes, sir.
Go on, bitter.
How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace.
How do you know this music?
I heard it here, sir. I can hear it from the schoolroom.
Then you have a good ear and a good memory.
Yes, sir.
So, maybe you are a musician too. What is your name?
Dangerfield, sir. Aaron Dangerfield.
Huh? Dangerfield, I know this man. He is your benefactor, yeah? A cabinet maker? I will speak with him.
Mr. Handel, may I come up?
It is I, Alexander Ashbrook. I brought the parts I copied for you.
Herr Ashbrook, yeah, come up. Go. I will speak to Herr Dangerfield and Herr Ledbury. Better you are apprenticed to a musician than a cabinet maker, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you. Goodbye.
As I climbed the steps to the organ loft, I passed the boy coming down.
Excuse me, sir.
Boy.
I would think back many times in the future to that inconsequential moment when I passed that boy on the steps, coming down from the organ loft.
Have you found your treble, then, for Messiah?
Maybe I have. This boy may be what I am looking for. Now then, we have work to do. Let us look through the score together, yeah?
Indeed, sir.
Link Boy Friar, five in a time.
Aaron, who was being accompanied by his choir master, Mr. Ledbury, was on his way to the home of Mr. Charles Burney, who had agreed to take the boy on as an apprentice.
Mr. Ledbury, good to see you, sir. Come in.
Mr. Burney, sir, at your service.
So, this is the young scamp Herr Handel wishes me to take on, eh?
Sir. I came across this lad in the chapel, singing his Messiah. He sings in my choir. He has an excellent ear and he has a real passion for music.
Well, let's hear this voice. Ashbrook, do me the honour, sir. Mr. Ashbrook is my most able assistant. It's with him the boy will learn to copy music, and more too, no doubt. He's a fine musician. Ah, Ashbrook, Mr. Ledbury's here from the Coram Hospital with his lad. Herr Handel wants him to be apprenticed to us. Aaron Dangerfield.
Ashbrook? Is it you? Alexander Ashbrook, is it?
Ledbury? Thomas Ledbury? Oh, my goodness!
Seems though introductions were not required.
Oh, forgive us, Mr. Burney. This man is my dearest friend from childhood.
How long has it been? It's been 7 years.
We were boys when we last met. Both choristers at Gloucester Cathedral 7 years ago. And we're both here in London. Both musicians, as we'd hoped.
Look, my dear fellows, touching as this is, may I request you continue your reunion in the tavern afterwards? Let's hear this boy. Ashbrook, sir, to the harpsichord, if you please.
Apologies, sir. Apologies. Come, boy. Stand over here by the harpsichord.
Yes, sir.
Your name?
Aaron Dangerfield, sir.
Right, Dangerfield. What will it be? A hymn, perhaps?
I'll sing The Silver Swan, sir.
The Silver Swan?
It's one of your favourites, as I recall, Mr. Ashbrook.
Yes, it was. My mother's favourite. Let's hear it then.
First Thomas, then this boy singing. The past was closing in on the present. It was as if that boy were me all those years ago, singing the Silver Swan to my mother. The bright young face I saw before me could have been mine. He could have been me as I was then, brimming with love of music, confidence, and hope for the future.
Mr. Ashbrook?
Alex? It brings back memories, eh? Well, perhaps you'd rather not teach the boy.
No, on the contrary. I think young Master Dangerfield and I will get along like a house on fire. Won't we, boy?
Sir.
Good.
They looked for you at first, as far as London and Bristol. But then your father disowned you, did you know?
Yeah, I knew he would. Mm. I went to London and got a position as a music tutor with a family almost immediately. Within days, we had crossed the channel and were on the road to Leipzig.
Here you are, sir.
And so, over our ales, we filled in the great 7-year gap of our lives. Since that fateful night in Gloucester, when my voice had broken and I had been wrenched away from Thomas and my life in the cathedral.
Your mother invites me to call once or twice a year at Christmas.
It was all I could do not to weep as Thomas told me about my family.
Young Edward went to Eton.
You remember Melissa?
Is it married by now, huh?
No, I don't think she ever will. Quite a recluse since she was so ill.
Ill? She did recover.
Oh, yes. And now Miss Melissa is as devoted to the orphanage as Lady Ashbrook.
Thomas, I want a reconciliation. I just long to see them. Help me, will you?
Dear good sir, old friend, I will do anything I can.
Thomas, forgive me. There go the 4 o'clock bells. I must get on. Do you know this Mr. Philip Gaddon? I've been pulled in at the last moment to conduct the orchestra for his soiree tonight. He's a merchant, I believe.
I've never met him. He's one of the governors at the Coram Hospital. He's rich as Croesus.
Where does his money come from?
Oh, God knows. Ships, trade, the East. I have heard he likes Oriental-style parties. Mm. Mm, he's drawing rooms like a harem, they say.
Let's meet again soon, Thomas. I want to go home. Back to Ashbrook. See my family.
I'm going to Gloucester in a fortnight. I could call in at Ashbrook. Perhaps I could carry some letters.
Have you ever seen such black skin? Like ebony.
What happens to them when they grow up?
When they're too old to be huggable. And sit on a lady's lap.
Oh, you'll never be too old to sit on my lap.
When he's too old for your lap, madam, why then I can always ship him off to Virginia.
I overheard these conversations going on behind my back as I conducted, and I was outraged. But there was something about Gaddon which stirred my memory. He seemed oddly familiar. It began to plague me. Why did I feel I had seen him somewhere before?
Toby, Aaron, Matron wants you, now!
You're to wait here till you're called.
Are we in trouble? What did we do?
How should I know? You lot's all bad anyway.
Martha! Send them in!
Gaddon and Dangerfield, Mum.
Right, boys. Toby Gaddon, Aaron Dangerfield.
Good day, Mum.
Now then, boys. You are here to be told of the arrangements which have now been made for your apprenticeships. You're both leaving us at the end of the week.
So soon?
Toby Gaddon, you will be living in the house of your benefactor, Mr. Philip Gaddon. And you, Aaron, are to be apprenticed to the musician, Mr. Burney.
I don't want to go. Please let me stay here. I can work here.
Toby, please.
And I'll be a musician. What about Mish? Can he come with me?
Mrs. Henry firmly told them to control their fears and be infinitely grateful for the opportunities they had been given. As for Mish, she told Aaron, he would stay on at the Coram Hospital, working on the farm where he would be safe and cared for. They would both get a day off a year, and Aaron could use it to visit Mish if he wished.
Poor Mish. I don't want to go. I'll run away.
Now then, one last thing.
She went to a tall oak cabinet and pulled out a large wooden tray. Laid in neat rows was a curious array of oddments. Ribbons, lockets, a bracelet, a small handkerchief, a bit of lace, each neatly labelled with a child's name.
I have something for you both. It's to remind you that though your mothers gave you up, they loved you. Toby, this string of beads were round your neck when you were brought here. They're your mother's beads. Here. Take them.
My mother? Is she alive then? Can I go to her?
I'm sorry, Toby. Your mother was taken to the Americas on a slave ship. Her whereabouts and her fate are unknown to us, as is the case with all these mothers.
But I wasn't brought here by my mother, was I? Mish brought me here, didn't he? He ain't my father, is he? I don't have a mother, do I? There won't be nothing for me.
We thought at first Mish was your father, though he's only claimed to be your guardian angel. We don't know how you came to be with him. He was half dead himself when he arrived at our gates. You were wrapped in a shawl of the finest wool, with this locket round your neck. We therefore think your mother was a lady of substance.
A lady of substance? What is substance? Look, there's a lock of hair inside. Is it her hair? My mother's hair?
A day or two after their interview with Mrs. Hendry, a coach came for Toby.
Mish! Mish! Have you seen Aaron, Mish?
He's in the chapel with Mr. Ledbury. Toby's sad.
They've come for me. They're sending me away for good. I'm being apprenticed to my benefactor, Mr. Gaddon.
Tobykin's leaving Mish. Leaving my angel child. Going to Mr. Gaddon. Mr. Gaddon.
Everyone thinks I'm lucky. They think he's so good and kind. But he's a devil. He's cruel.
He's no Christian man. There we are. Choir practice over.
Toby, Mish, have you heard? I'm singing in the concert.
I'm going, Aaron. The coach has come for me. I'm going to Mr. Gaddon.
Oh, Toby.
I don't want to go.
Poor Toby going to Mr. Gaddon forever.
Me too. I'm going soon. I'm being apprenticed to Mr. Burney to do music. I'm going to be a musician.
Angel child going. Leaving me. Angel child. No.
Let's run away, Aaron. Like we always said.
I don't think we should. Not just yet. I'm going to sing in a concert.
How suddenly everything can change. Just one encounter with Mr. Handel, and like a blinding flash, Aaron had realised he wanted to be a musician more than anything else in the world.
Don't you want to know more? Don't you want to? Then I go by myself.
No! Night and day, don't leave me!
Toby, you're my friend. We're blood brothers. One day, we'll be grown up. We won't have to run away.
Angel!
Mish, oh, Mish!
Aaron stared at the fleeing figure of his best friend, Toby, then at Mish, who, as if he'd been struck, fell back in the grass like a giant. He lay as if dead. He hadn't been dead for years, not since he had run away with that precious bundle and arrived at the Coram Hospital. But now, with the dreadful news that his angel child would be leaving him, he felt himself back in those dripping woods. His demons returned, and he saw tiny hands and fingers clawing the sky, heard the squealings and choking of half-buried bundles. Escape to the angels! There was his angel child chasing across the sky, dodging stars and meteors, running to Melissa. Melissa!
Angel! My angel!
Mish! Mish! Wake up! I'm singing a solo in the concert next week. Mr. Ledbury says so. You will come and listen to me, won't you? Promise?
Promise! Promise! Promise!
There was overwhelming public interest when it was announced that Mr. Handel was to give a performance of his newly composed oratorio, Messiah, for the benefit of the Coram Hospital.
Come now, boys. Quiet, please. Stand up straight and don't forget to watch Mr. Handel at all times.
I can see Mr. Burney. And there's Mrs. Hendry. And Mercy. Mercy's here. But where's Mish? I can't see Mish. He promised to come. They will let him in, won't they, Mr. Ledbury?
Hush, hush, calm down. Mish is sure to come, Aaron. Stop fretting and concentrate. You've got an important solo.
There's Mr. Gaddon. But not Toby. Poor Toby. There's Mr. Ashbrook.
Yes, he's assisting Mr. Handel. Don't let him down now. Right, they're ready. File in, boys. Follow me.
That's just some poor loon. They take them in too.
Meshach? That's Meshach, surely. Was it possible?
here in London, at the Coram Hospital. When I saw this red-haired giant of a lad clapping away in the gallery like a lunatic, I remembered everything.
Meshach?
Yes, but that man, Gaddon, I know now where I've seen Mr. Gaddon before. He's Otis, Thomas. Otis Gardner.
Otis Gardner is dead. He's executed outside Stroud. I know, I was there. It was the event of the year. Hundreds came to watch. I saw him hang. It can't be him.
Executed? Why, for heaven's sake? What was his crime?
Oh, God, how can I tell you? It happened on your family estate.
What happened? Tell me, man. Did it involve my family?
A dog was heard howling piteously for days in Ashbrook Woods. By the time it was found, it had starved to death. But everyone knew it was Meshach's dog, Jester. And Meshach was never parted from him. So they began searching the woods. And, well, down by the lake, they found a bloody shawl. A baby's shawl. And a further search... Oh, Alexander, I can hardly bear to tell you.
Come on, man. Tell me.
They found the remains of little ones. Babies. Mostly newborn.
Babies?
You see, Otis had been calling himself a Coram man. He'd been going around telling poor unfortunate girls that he would take their unwanted babies to London to the hospital. You can see why they trusted him. But the man was a devil, I tell you.
Yes, a devil.
He never had any intention of taking them to Coram. He just got rid of them. He sold them to whoever wanted them. And he killed the rest and buried them in the woods.
In Ashbrook Woods?
Lady Ashbrook was distraught at such horror so close to home. And as for Mrs. Millcott, well, she collapsed, never really recovered. Miss Melissa made herself ill caring for her mother.
And you definitely saw him? You know it was he?
I was at a distance. It's true, but I was as sure as I could be, along with thousands of others, that that man on the gallows was Otis.
And I'm as sure as I can be that our fine patron and gentleman, Philip Gaddon, is Otis Gardner, and that the loony lad clapping his head off in the gallery was Meshach.
Hey, Mish, where's Aaron? He's off on his apprenticeship. Mr. Burney's maid is here to fetch him.
No, no, not my angel. They can't take my angel.
Mercy, do you know where Aaron is?
In the barn. I'll go. No, I ain't leaving Mish.
Tell him you'll come back when you're a man. Tell him one day it'll be you looking after him.
Angel!
Mish, listen to me. One day I'll be rich and famous, and we'll have a big house just for you and me. Goodbye, Mish. I love you.
They're taking my angel. Ma, let me come to you. I keep hearing their voices, Ma. Them babbies. And they plead with me to save them. Now they're taking my angel. Can I die now?
Not yet, Meshach. Not yet.
Marjorie. Hey, Marjorie. It's me, Aaron. Can I see Toby?
Grief, Aaron. He gave me a fright.
I haven't seen him for ages. Is he around?
He's been ill. Got the typhoid. Thought we'd lost him. That fine, generous, good Mr. Gaddon wouldn't even call in a physician. Wasn't worth a guinea. He's in the kitchen polishing the silver. Go on, but not too long, mind.
Toby!
Aaron, I thought I'd never see you again. How did you get here?
Timothy brought me. He's Mr. Burney's man. I'm apprenticed to him now. Timothy said I could pop in while he goes to Billingsgate. My God, look at you, all in rags. Where are your fine clothes?
Do you think I dress like a prince every day? It's only for his parties, you know. The rest of the time he treats us like beggars. But you look like a fine gentleman in your blue jacket.
Aaron told him excitedly we were going on a trip out of London to a big house to give a concert. But Toby had something dreadful to tell Aaron.
Listen, quick, before you go. I've got to tell someone.
That Mr. Gaddon, you know how he takes in Coram children, like me and Marjorie? Well, he's selling some of them off to be slaves. There's a tunnel. I found it. It leads from this house to the river. Comes out near the docks. Mr. Gaddon says one day he'll sell me off too.
Mr. Ledbury, I'll tell him. He'll know what to do. When I get back, I'll come and see you again.
Aaron!
I'm going. I'll be back, Toby. I'll help you. I promise.
7 years had gone by. The children were all alive in the woods. A forester looked after them, cared for them like they were his own.
Woods. Like Ashbrook Woods. I've come back, Ma. I've come back to Ashbrook with my angel child.
There came six boys from the Coram Hospital, all the way from London to Ashbrook House. Thomas brought them to give a little benefit concert in the Ashbrook Chapel, to raise money for my mother's orphanage, and to take the opportunity for a reconciliation between me and my father. Meshach came too, unnoticed, just another man riding alongside the driver.
They thought they could part him from me, but it would be easier to cut me away from my own shadow. He's my angel child.
When I am made,
see her, Ma. My angel. I know her still. Even though her ringlets are now plaited into her neck and tucked beneath a woman's cap. She has already looked into her boy's face, but didn't recognize him. Didn't see her image reflected in his eyes.
Melissa, there you are. I was looking for you. You're crying, oh my dearest.
It's just that today, don't you know what today is, Isabel?
Angel child's birthday.
Today would have been my baby's birthday. My little Alexander is
eight
years old today.
Oh, Melissa, how could I forget?
We would have been holding a special service in the church to thank God for his life.
I'm so sorry. How stupid of me not to remember. It was knowing Thomas was coming and that we might hear news of Alexander. Come, let's say a prayer for our little Alexander's soul.
There came six boys.
What was that? I feel watched. I feel there are eyes everywhere, all seeing my guilt and shame and sorrow.
But there are only my eyes. My eyes watching you, my angel.
Here we are, boys. This is where you will sing.
Just so enter pretty. Respectfully, eh? Caps removed, boots cleaned.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought the church... It's you, Miss Isabel, and you, Miss Melissa.
Thomas! Thomas, welcome.
Thomas, how wonderful to see you again, dear Thomas. Oh, forgive my tears. Oh, how I wish we were children once more playing innocently.
Yes, Melissa, they were happy days. I too miss them. I trust you are well again, and your mother too.
Oh, yes, quite well, thank you, Thomas. And you've come with some Coram boys, I see.
Yes, yes. Youngest is only 8. Others are 9 and 10 years old. Meet the boys. Geoffrey, Ned, Stephen.
Aaron.
He's the youngest.
Good day, Mom.
That's Benjamin and Matthew.
Good day, Mum.
You're wonderful little songbirds. You'll see soon enough.
Oh, I can't wait to hear them.
I know. Let them sing tonight after supper. It can be a rehearsal for the concert. I'll ask Mama.
You must tell her, Meshach. Tell your angel and your angel's child. Tell her, Meshach. Tell her.
No.
Tell her.
No. I'll lose my angel and my angel's child. Then what will Mish do? What will Mish do, poor thing?
More geese than swans now live, more fools than wise.
Well done!
Mother, are you all right?
Oh, I'm being silly, my darling. Those boys. That boy. My favourite song. Alexander always sang it.
Mr. Ledbury,
sir.
A word with you.
Oh, such memories.
Are you, perchance, in touch with my son?
Melissa, be so good as to accompany me to my chamber. I feel unwell.
Mama, shall I call Mrs. Lynch?
No, no, not her.
There, Mother. Rest. It was the boys, wasn't it? They reminded you of that night.
Oh, Melissa.
They reminded me too. But you won't let me talk about it. Why?
Melissa, all these years I've carried a terrible burden. It's killing me. All these years I've dreaded you knowing the truth, not wanting to see the horror and condemnation in your eyes. Melissa, your baby. It wasn't my fault.
Mother, of course it wasn't your fault. The baby, it was all mine. I made you ill. I nearly destroyed us both. Oh,
forgive me, forgive me.
For what? I don't understand.
That baby.
Angel child.
Your child.
My boy.
It wasn't dead.
What happened, Mother, when the six little children grew up?
The one the mother kept, well, she had survived her first 7 years of infancy, and they took her to church for a special blessing, to thank God for her life.
Thank God, thank God.
When the priest gave the blessing, the door opened, and there they were. I think we have six more children to be blessed, said the gentleman to his wife.
And then?
Why then, the mother, being confronted with her crime, dropped down dead, right there. Tell her, Meshach.
No, 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 no.
Oh, oh no. What are you telling me? Mrs. Lynch gave the baby to Otis Gardner. He promised to take it to the Coram Hospital. He promised. She told me he had. I gave her the money. But when they found the babies, the shawl, the blood.
Oh, my baby was alive. Otis killed my baby.
But Melissa, that boy, that Coram boy who sang the Silver Swan, he looked so like Alexander did at that age. And Meshach is here. What if...
Don't torment yourself further.
The sight of these Coram boys singing in the Ashbrook Chapel, and especially the solos sung by Aaron, moved everyone. Reminded them of me as a boy. Tears were seen in my father's eyes.
That boy, he was so like Alex.
Come, my dear, we must see the boys off. Thomas has taken them back to London. But we have spoken of Alexander, and...
Alexander!
Thomas has seen him. Oh. He wants to come home. I want him to come home.
I believe the boys have everything. I've checked.
Thank you, Mrs. Lynch.
Right, boys, all aboard. Up on top.
Saw the luggage in place. Have you checked everything?
Sir, I'll check.
Meshach? Goodbye, Thomas. Next time you come, you'll bring Alexander.
It'll be my joy to see him reunited with his family. Goodbye, Miss Melissa.
Goodbye, Thomas. Dear Thomas, go well.
Mrs. Millcott, goodbye, ma'am.
Thomas, That fellow on top with the boys, who is he?
He's one of our Coram men, ma'am. Helps with the lads, keeps a lookout for highwaymen and so.
Right, we're off. Okay, goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Mrs.
Goodbye.
Lynch, goodbye. That man. Hooray. Did you recognise him?
What man?
That man.
Madam, control yourself.
Mama.
That Coram man. It's
Mama.
Mrs. Lynch, help her.
Meshach Gardener.
That lady. Why is she running after us? Why is she screaming?
I don't rightly know. Now, let's sing a song.
Why was she calling you? Mish, look! She's fallen, flat on her face. Are we going to stop? Shouldn't we tell Mr. Ledbury?
No. See, her daughter's there now. All's well.
Why did she shout, "What happened to the baby?" What did she mean, Mish? What baby?
How the hell should I know? Now shut up, will you?
Oh, no. Oh, come on, lad. Get back here. Mish, sorry. Mish didn't mean to.
I want to sit up front. Mr. Ledbury, can I sit up front with you?
Squeeze up, boys. There's room for another.
Let's sing that song. There came six boys on their knee. When do they come? When do they come? They came by night as well as by day to take your little child away. Whether he's old or whether he's young, we'll take him as he am.
They reached a farm just outside Lechlade and were given permission to shelter for the night in the barn. Just before nightfall, a rider, an Ashbrook man with panting horse, both covered in mud,
Ledbury!
Caught up with them,
Oi!
Calling for Thomas.
Thomas Ledbury! You fellow, I'm looking for Thomas Ledbury with a bunch of boys. Have you seen him?
In the barn, over there.
Mr. Ledbury?
That's me. What's your business?
Is Meshach Gardner with you?
Meshach?
He means Mish, sir. He's with Aaron.
Meshach Gardner is wanted back at Ashbrook.
Meshach Gardner? Is Alexander right? Why? What has he done?
Can't truly say I know, sir. There was a bit of a commotion. Mrs. Milcote was trying to call him back, trying to tell him something, but they didn't hear her, and she... well, she fell down dead, sir. Now Lord Ashbrook wants to question him. The man should have stood trial with his father, Otis.
Be with Aaron.
Where's Aaron? How many of you are in here? I'll step forward and be counted.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
One,
yes, sir.
Two,
yes, sir.
Three. Stand still. Three, four.
The king of mine does less by day to take his little away.
Meshach sang obsessively as he dragged Aaron through drenched grass and dripping woods, getting them as far away from the London coach as he could. And when Aaron's legs gave way with exhaustion, he heaved the boy up onto his shoulders.
Where are we going, Mish? Why do we have to leave them? It's raining, I'm soaked.
Save your breath. We've got to get across this stream.
But Mish...
Come on, Angel. Hold tight.
Yes, Mish, but where are we going?
London, my angel.
Meshach Gardner was on the run. He told Aaron that he would take him back to Mr. Burney, but he had no intention of doing that. He knew he'd been recognised, and that if they caught up with him, he'd lose his angel child forever. I had to return to Ashbrook. Now was the time. The day I returned, it was Mrs. Milcote's funeral. I watched from a distance among the yew trees. There they were, all the people I loved. As the minister's words came to an end, the coffin was lowered. Melissa stepped forward and cast the lilies into the open grave.
Melissa, look.
It was then Isabel saw me.
Alexander, Papa's going over to him. Papa's embracing him. Oh, Melissa, what kind of sad, happy day is this?
It was not the homecoming my father had dreamt of. There was no feast or fatted calf to celebrate the return of a prodigal son. But the joy was just as great. Nothing mattered. I was forgiven. I was home. The next day, Isabel, Melissa, and I gathered in Waterside, talking in whispers as if the past might overhear us and threaten our happiness. We had to speak of Mrs. Milcote. Her death released the truth. After I left 8 years ago, Melissa had given birth to our baby. A boy. Our son.
Alexander, after you left 8 years ago, I gave birth to our baby. A boy. Our son. I was told he was dead. But my mother, before she died, told me the baby, our baby, wasn't dead.
Meshach was there the night Melissa's baby was born. He should have stood trial with Otis, but he disappeared and was never found. Now Meshach has disappeared again and seems to have taken a Corum boy with him, a boy called Aaron. And Thomas is looking for them at this moment.
Stop, stop! If the man Mrs. Milcott saw in the coach was Meshach, then is it possible that...
Say it, Alexander, say it!
Is that Corum boy, Aaron Dangerfield, our son?
I'm coming, coming!
Thank God you're in.
Alexander, oh, come in, sir. Soaked to the skin.
I've been riding most of the night.
Here, give me your coat. By the fire. I'll get some brandy. Oh. You look all in. Here, this'll warm you up. Oh,
you're a good fellow. Mm. Now, this Meshach.
You were right. That fellow was Otis's son. They haven't found him yet, nor Aaron.
We've got to find him.
We'll find Mish, and you'll find the boy. Meshach loved him like a father.
Yes, so I've heard.
Pray God he comes to no harm.
Thomas, there are things you don't know, which I have only just learned. And so I told him everything. My dear friend, Thomas.
And now, where is Mrs. Lynch?
Gone. She fled the day Mrs. Milcott died.
Joseph! Where's that boy? Why can I never see him when I want him?
He's there, sir. Sleeping behind the curtain. Dead tired. Up since 4 o'clock this morning.
Get up, you lazy little brat! Next slave ship, he'll be on it.
Sir! A man and a boy, sir. The man says he's your son. Meshach, sir. Shall I chuck him out?
After all these years, he turns up now. No. No, let me see what kind of man would try and pass himself off as my son. Put him in the map room.
Mr. Burney! Mr. Burney! What the devil do you think you're doing making such a racket at this time in the morning?
Tell Mr. Burney! Tell him Aaron's been got, and Mish!
What do you know, boy? Speak up!
He's got him, sir. Aaron and Mish. He'll send them to the ship.
Toby, what a state you're in, eh?
What do you mean, he's got them? Who's he?
Mr. Gaddon, sir.
Gaddon?
He's put them in the map room. That's where he always puts them before taking them to the ships. There's a secret tunnel from that room. Go to the river. He'll sell them as slaves, just like all the others.
Can you take us there?
Yes, sir.
Right, Mr. Burney, sir, can we send a man to fetch Mr. Ashburn?
Immediately.
Right, open up the tunnel. Let's get him out of here. There's a slaver leaving on the next tide, the Lucky Nancy.
Yes, sir. We'll get the boat ready.
Get up, Meshach. You blithering loon. Get up, damn you. None of that dead stuff now, and you, boy. On your feet.
Ow, let
get up, Baconhead.
Don't kick him, he can't help it. Mish, wake up, please.
We were flying with the angels, and they were singing.
I'll soon have you singing if you don't get moving. Now down them steps, and you, boy.
I'm sorry, Dar. I couldn't kill my angel's child.
Right, shut up. I'm not your Dar.
I took him to Corum. Like they wanted. Couldn't let you take my angel child away. But you'll help us now, won't you, Da? You be a gentleman and all that. You won't let them people take him away from me, will you?
What people, Meshach?
Well, them back at Ashbrook. My boy sang there with the Corum boys. And I saw her, Da. My angel. And when my angel's child sang, they said, he's so like his Da. And they came to get me, but I ran off.
What do you mean I look like my Da? Mish? Who is my Da? And what about my Ma? Was your angel my Ma?
I'm your Ma and your Da. Only me.
Get on the steps! Where's the Lucky Nancy? Captain Buckley's ship.
Yonder. The tide's up, they'll be sailing soon.
Get a move on.
Can't make me.
Shut up.
Gaddon? Or should I say, Otis Gardner? It's all over. We know who you are. Everyone in London will know by now who you really are and what you've done. Give me the boy, Aaron.
with no one.
Give me my son.
Meesh, put me down. That's Mr. Ashbrook.
Bring him to me, Meshach. In the name of God, let my son go.
No!
Let me go! Let me
He's
go!
He's mine!
Meesh, let us go! It's Mr. Ashbrook!
Mr. Bloody Ashbrook, is it?
Well, I'm not letting no Mr. Ashbrook destroy everything I've worked for all these years.
Aaron! I'm your father!
God, Alexander, he's got his sword out!
My father? Mr. Ashbrook? Meesh, what does he mean?
I'm your ma and your da. Stay with me.
Put your sword down, Otis. Stand aside. Out of the way. Out of the way.
Mr. Ashbrook! I knocked him down! Stop! Stop!
You're not going to ruin my life, Ashbrook.
No! No!
Alex!
Mr. Ledbury! He took the blow! No, no, you've killed him, Mr. Ledbury and Mr. Ashbrook. Meesh, he said he was my father.
No, no, he's not your dad.
He's killed him!
Bugley! Get him aboard! Do what you like with him.
I never want to see him again.
What's that noise?
It's the sound of slaves, bound in chains.
I'm afraid of this thing.
What did he mean, Meesh? Mr. Ashbrook said I was his son.
It's so dark in here. Meesh afraid of the dark angel giant.
Is he dead? Dunno. Mr. Ledbury took the blow. And my ma. Do you know her, Meesh?
It was only because you were my angel's child. I loved you, angel child. Couldn't kill you. I saved you when you was a baby. That makes you mine, don't it?
Yes, Meesh. We're on a big ship. Is it going to America? Shall I find my mother? I don't want to be a slave.
You do forgive me, don't you, angel child?
Yes, Meesh. Look, there's a chink of light above the sacks. It's the hatch. I'm going to climb up, see if I can open it. Come on, Aaron, come and help me. You might be able to get out.
No, no. Where are you going? Don't leave me, Angel. Come back.
Let me go, Meesh. If we open the hatch, it'll let in some light. Then you won't be afraid of the dark. Let me go.
Don't leave me.
It's moving. Come on, Aaron, quick. Push, push.
I'm trying.
I'm coming too.
No. No, you stay there. We'll come back. It's open. Can you see anyone?
No. Just the land. We're moving downriver.
Look, Toby. There's fishing boats. People. So close. We could shout.
It's taking us to the ocean. The green ocean of endless darkness. Let's get out of here. Give me your hand.
I'm so weak.
I want to go to America, but not as a slave. I ain't going to be chained up forever. I ain't crossing that ocean. I'm going to jump, jump, jump.
No, Toby. Toby!
Angel child!
Toby!
Don't leave me in the dark. Angel!
You're here.
Everything started and ended here. Our childhood. Our friendship with Thomas. Our child. Oh, God, what did we do?
Come, my dearest. I've picked these flowers. Come with me to the churchyard. These blue ones are for Mama. It was her favourite colour. And the red for Thomas, who gave his blood for you. Thomas Ledbury, no bird sang sweeter, no friend was truer, no man was ever more missed.
Amen to that. If only we knew what had happened to the boys. If only we knew whether we should be standing over...
Aaron's grave.
I felt as though our lives had just stopped, held in midair, not knowing whether to rise or fall.
Thank God for Captain Coram. At least our boy was cared for 8 short years.
But Otis,
He got away. He's still out there. He's like an evil whirlwind encircling the earth, ready to swoop down and start his business all over again.
Whoa! Oh, now!
I think my heart stopped beating. I think the birds stopped flying.
Thanks for the ride, mister.
Suspended in mid-flight.
Cheerio. Bye.
We saw two boys. They stopped and stared at us. One white, one black. The white boy came forward slowly.
Mr. Ashbrook, I think I'm your son.
Ashbrook embraced us all once more, and the years passed by. We used to hear of an old man who appeared from time to time, walking miles from his poor grass hovel, sometimes begging a mug of ale at the inn, sometimes boasting of places he'd been to, far across the sea in America. Everyone knew he was a loon, a simpleton, but they treated him kindly. And he walked through the Ashbrook Woods until he reached a promontory where he could look down on Ashbrook House.
You see him, Ma? There. Yonder he's grown into such a tall lad. And Toby, too. And look. There. There she is. Melissa. My angel. My angel. Ma. I'm tired. I want to sleep, yet can barely tear my eyes away from my boy. I'm looking for you, Ma. Up, up through the green leaves into the blue, 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 black sky. Ma, can I be dead now? Is it time?
Yes, me Shack. Yes, yes, yes. It is time.
In Angel Child, part 2 of Corum Boy by Jamila Gavin, Jonathan Slinger was Alexander Ashbrook and Tom Riley, Thomas Ledbury. Gadon was played by Mark Warren. Meshach by Paul Reddy, Meshach's mother, Rachel Atkins, Mrs. Lynch, Deborah Finley, Aaron, Oscar North, Toby, Auriel Agranoff, Lady Ashbrook, Jenny Funnel, Lord Ashbrook, Pip Torrens, and Mrs. Milcott, Serena Evans. Melissa, Abby Ford, Isabel, Julie Cox, Mr. Burney, David Collings, Mrs. Hendry, Mel Hudson, Handel, David Holt, Mr. Rawlings, Ian Masters, and teacher Roger May. Other parts were played by Catherine Hindmarsh, Zoe Gleaves, Sam Shields, Gabriel Agranoff, Sam Hoyles, Beatrice Bourne, Rebecca Hindmarsh, and Tom Glenister. The musical arranger was Margaret Vincent, and the music was performed by the Dulwich Corum Boy Choir and musicians. Corum Boy was written and dramatized for radio by Jamila Gavin and directed by Celia DeWolf. It was a peer production for BBC Radio 4.
Tomorrow, the world of the original temperamental artist Michelangelo is the setting for Nigel Planer's first play, starring himself, Phil Daniels and Roger Lloyd Pack. On the Ceiling is our drama at the same time tomorrow.
Say that Manus, the old chieftain of this place, had some great treasure.
How did he come to lose it?
Nobody knows. Or if they did once, they aren't telling.
A Scottish island haunted by secrets.
What are we to do, Grizzle?
Why do you ask me?
Because you are a woman of great contrivance.
A history of love and betrayal.
You are free to roam the island as far as you wish. There is no way to leave it, so you should have no hopes of escape.
The Curiosity Cabinet on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
How can I bear it?
Come back from the edge at least.
Starts on Wednesday at 11:15 in the morning and again in the evening at 9:15.
Now, to mark National Poetry Day, Joseph Milson reads Alfred Lord Tennyson's 1855 dark and haunting poem, Maud.
But a rose, and all by myself in my own dark garden ground, listening now to the tide in its broad-flung shipwrecking roar, now to the scream of a maddened beach dragged down by the wave, walked in a wintry wind by a ghastly glimmer, and found a shining daffodil dead, and Orion low in his grave.
Tennyson's Maud on BBC Radio 4 Extra on Thursday morning at 10 and again in the afternoon at 3.
A mistimed proposal.
We've just been in Paris. You could have asked me up the Eiffel Tower or at the Louvre.
A secret past.
There are whole things about me you can't even guess.
A change of destination.
Where are you taking us?
You have business to attend to.
It's amazing what can happen in 2 minutes.
What's going on?
With a story told by its listeners, Chain Gang returns to BBC Radio 4 Extra on Saturday afternoon at 1:10. Find out how to get involved on our website.
I'll be back at 5 with a triple bill of comedy, Flying the Flag, The Pickerskill Detentions and Hearing with Hegley. All coming up after we spend 60 minutes with Mel. Bye for now.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, I'm Mel Gedroych and welcome to October. Yeah. It's officially autumn, the trees are turning, the days are getting shorter, and the weather possibly might be getting worse. But fear not, because the only thing that's going to blow you away this afternoon is the all-star lineup on today's 4 o'clock show. Sorry, you don't believe me? Well, for a start, we've got some madcap nonsense with the clown prince of primetime TV, Harry Hill.
Well, me and Dizzy Rascal write her Queen's Speech, and then she gets offered a series on ITV, but me and Dizzy distance ourselves from it.
We've got some horrific hilarity with the cast of the new Horrible History stage show.
First you feel a little poorly, then you start to swell. Then you start to spit some blood, and then you really smell. Pong! Then you know it's time to ring your funeral bell. Dong! Then along comes Mr. Death and takes you off to hell. Dong!
And there's, of course, the next dramatic episode of our current story, Tom's Midnight Garden.
It seemed a long time before the garden door opened and Abel walked out. Tom went to him at once. Abel, please, how's Hattie? She's not dead, is she? She's not dead!
But first, get ready, get set, let's go, go, go with another magical mystery tour. Where in the world could we be heading to today? Well, let's spin the globe and see. Ah, yes. Our destination today is the capital city of one of the biggest countries in Europe. It's also home to not one, but two zoos, which means it officially has the most zoo animals in the world. I didn't know that. That's all I'm going to give you for now. But stay with me, and I will reveal more clues about our location a little later on in the show. It's Tuesday on the 4 o'clock show, and that, my friends, can mean only one thing. Birthday to you. Yes, it's time we served up a slice of birthday cake in honour of another celebrity's big day. And today, I don't know, I think, no, not cake, I think probably custard pie is in order, as we say happy birthday, Harry Hill. TV's favourite comic clown turns 49 today. And to celebrate, here's Harry in conversation with front row's Mark Lawson, talking about his fake 2010 diary, Living the Dream, A Year in My Life. The book's full of some unlikely anecdotes about his life with celebrities like Susan Boyle, Alan Bennett and Simon Cowell. Harry began by telling Mark how, in the book, his mother ends up on a date with BBC Radio 4's Melvyn Bragg.
She wins a competition on In Our Time, where you get to spend a week with Melvyn Bragg in Centre Parks. And she's not sure about it. She entered the competition not thinking she'd win.
Also, Simon Cowell, who features frequently,
From what I've seen of him on TV, I've never met him. I mean, he doesn't seem to have much of a sense of humour. So,
why do you say that?
That's a bit of a risk, isn't it? The second most powerful man in ITV.
Is he?
After you, yeah.
Well, I think he's all right, isn't he, Simon? You know what? Actually, he's been very good to us as far as TV Burp goes. He's always given us clips, and I think it has to go, you know, through his office.
No, everything goes across his desk, apparently.
Does it? What do you know about it? You're in this cosseted world of Radio 4. You don't even come in contact. That would be an interview I'd like to hear, actually.
What, Simon than, Cowell?
Rather than this one.
We've asked him many times. No,
he won't come on.
We're enjoying this one. He won't come on. There are, I think, interesting days on which you really did, something you really went to is presented, but
yes,
in a surreal way. July yes. the 1st, because I think I remember seeing you at the Faber Summer Party this year as one of their authors.
Yeah.
What I don't remember happening is this. A couple of the poets ganged up on Booker Prize-winning Australian novelist Peter Carey. On seeing the situation, Kazi Ishiguro and Hanif Qureshi waded in. Before you could say T.S. Eliot, a full-blown fight had broken out. Wendy Cope climbed up onto the bar and then jumped onto Tom Stoppard's back, who then proceeded to rotate around at speed until poor Wendy went flying off into an empty barrel.